Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 51. Craig Hamilton of CitizenCraig.com. Ben Stark of Wonder Mill Films.
Craig, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Very good. Well, we're about 3 months away, roughly, from the release of Star Wars The Force Awakens, which is the episode 7, but it's not in the title that way. I think it's a really good time to not just analyze, but also engage in the full-on hype for a new Star Wars movie. This is a big deal for anybody that's a movie fan. I think even if you're a jaded fan of only art house or independent or foreign cinema, I think you're still probably gonna have some sort of connection or positive feelings towards part of the Star Wars cinematic canon. So you and I and the rest of the film nerds have kind of traded a lot of texts and stuff about the upcoming movie and about Star Wars in general. So today what we just kind of wanted to do is kind of like a hype kickoff discussion to talk to you about Star Wars, about the, I don't know, kind of where you're at in your Star Wars fandom, what your anticipation level is for The Force Awakens. And then kind of see what other ideas we might have going forward. So I guess first, like, where are you at? Like, I know, you know, there's a big release of all the toys for the new film this past week, or maybe 2 weeks ago. I don't know when it was, but I think you hopped on board, and a lot of my friends did. So are you pretty stoked for Force Awakens?
Yeah, totally. I think as far as the toy release goes, if you walk through Walmart or Target right now, there's consistently empty sections of that whole Star Wars area that either the stores aren't getting them in or the people are buying them the second they come in. And it's, I'm kind of trying to shy away from any kind of spoilers, but if there's definitely spoilers in character reveals and on the existing ones. And I just think people are so psyched to see certain characters that's the kind of merchandise they're going after. I think also the new droid, was it BB-8 or something? I think people are like just really into that droid. And so they're just buying lots of like everything they can with that droid, at least what I've seen.
For $170 or something like that.
Yeah, like just the Lego.
Yeah. the Duplo for BB-8 is $278 right now on Target.com.
So there's definitely that excitement. But you get that whole crowd, I think, will turn up for any legitimate Star Wars release, for the toys at least. It's really exciting to see how quickly those toys are like selling out. And I sort of made a tiny mistake, perhaps, maybe not, in just kind of researching what the second wave of those toys are going to be. And I saw like three or four characters that just like totally excited me, but it was kind of like, man, I wish I'd, you know, had seen that for the first time in the theater. But I probably would have seen it before then anyways. But there's just more to come, and I think that's also exciting, knowing that there's more to learn about this movie. That while they've revealed, I think Abrams hasn't shied away from revealing lots of things via social media, but there's so much they're keeping close to the chest, and I think that's exciting too.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of where I'm at. Is I'm excited. I like the Star Wars movies. I'm not like a dyed-in-the-wool fan. Like, you know, I wasn't necessarily raised on Star Wars. I just kind of got interested in it as a movie when I was like in high school, and watched the prequels like regular movies, not like potential religious experiences. So I'm more of on an even keel than a lot of movie nerds are, but I'm still super excited for Force Awakens, and I am so excited that I kind of want to stay away from a lot of that stuff, just because, you know, how for those people that first experienced Star Wars in a movie theater, you know, how different would it have been for them to experience most of that outside of the theater, you know, whether it was in merchandising or trailers or whatever. So I'm glad that they've been fairly restrained in terms of trailers and things like that. And I'm sure that it's going to crank up more and more as we get closer. And you know, I can easily choose to stay away from the toy section at Target or wherever. But yeah, I would love to stay as spoiler free as possible for this movie, but we'll see how well that goes. And the merchandising is something that I found myself kind of surprisingly averse to for the first time. Usually, I grew up on merchandising. Jurassic Park, the merchandising for Jurassic Park was just insane. And I remember going to the bookstore and just wallowing in all the Jurassic Park toys that were there at the bookstore for some reason. And it was just great. But when I walk into Target now, there's this giant display of Pepsi cans arranged into a Darth Vader mask, and then a stand-up of Chewbacca that roars at you when you walk past him. And maybe it's because I've got an infant with me most of the time, or maybe I'm just, you know, I'm just a little bit more stressed out than I was when I was a kid. But now, when that stuff slaps me in the face and Chewbacca screams at me when I get my basket at Target, it kind of bugs me. Do you is there any kind of a dissonance for you as an adult, or are you just kind of happy that
Yeah.
Star Wars is still alive?
Well, that's sort of annoying too. When it's like I like right when you walk in and you see like a Star Wars band, like a banner. I'm like, okay, that's cool. Just something like that to like say, hey,
Yeah.
everyone's so excited about this. But then, like you said, like at every turn there's something, you know. In the soup aisle, there's our Target took all the Star Wars stuff and stuck it in one corner, and it wasn't like in every single aisle, but they did have that Chewbacca that I won't deny that I kind of wish I could put in my house, but it is kind of like, yeah, every time I walk by with my little girl, it's like, rawr! And it's something I'm not ready to deal with when it's just me and her, you know, I'm trying to round her up and, you know, keep her calm. But in that section of just the Star Wars like toys, it's just kind of I don't know, like there's I'm kind of I can appreciate that because it's so, such a traditional thing to me. But when you start stacking up Pepsi cans like Darth Vader, that's like a rogue Star Wars fan employee that broke in the middle of the night and put that together or something.
Or I don't know. I think for me, it's there's a part of it that seems so fake that seems like there's just this guy with, you know, frosted tips in a marketing boardroom somewhere, and he's like, he knows nothing about movies. He doesn't care about Star Wars. He probably used to beat up Star Wars fans. But he's like, hey, we need some synergy, so why don't we arrange these Pepsi cans and a Darth Vader head? There's just a marketing aspect to it that seems really insincere that I'm sure was totally there when I was a kid, and I just didn't see that deeply into it because I wasn't as big of a jerk as I am now. But you know, I'm
Like we're
sure.
going to, like I'm going to buy a beverage because it happens to be one of 1,000 beverages that are put in order to look like something that is a rendering of a character in a movie that I like. Like that's preposterous,
Look,
especially knowing that it's Pepsi. It's
I will,
crab water.
I will totally cop to the fact that as we get closer to the movie and as I get more palpably excited for it, I will probably start falling into that trap. When I was a kid, I ate Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cereal, which was straight up garbage paper, but I ate it because it was branded that way. I bought, when The Phantom Menace came out, I got wrapped up in the hype for that. I bought the, all the Pepsi cans with like Sepulba or whatever his name is on them. Just because, I thought, well, this will be a special thing someday.
Well, it may, and it may be. I think I've got an old, like, Coca-Cola glass bottle with, like, Bear Bryant's silhouette on it from, like, 40 years ago or something. So you never can tell
Well,
how.
yeah, there's a difference. There's probably a difference there between the regal nature of Bear Bryant versus the long-armed pod race monster from Phantom Menace. So do you think that I mean, again, I was 16, I think, when Phantom Menace came out, and for me that was like the hype for that movie was insane. I don't know if as a culture, I don't know if movies will ever be that big again. I don't know if we can all be on the same page again, but it seems like, do you think that The Force Awakens will reach Phantom Menace levels of anticipation and just kind of fervor?
Well, I think this is a good topic that we kind of brushed on with the other film nerds, is that I don't think the anticipation will ever reach Phantom Menace, and it's for a couple of reasons. One is you've got to look at what preceded those movies, and it was the original three films, 20 odd years later,
Right.
right?
Right.
So the excitement could not have possibly been bigger, which led to such a huge disappointment. So I don't think The Force Awakens will ever reach that, the Phantom Menace anticipation. That plus the fact that now what's preceding The Force Awakens, well, you have the original and then you have those three disappointing prequels. So I think everyone's anticipation is tempered that so that I don't think they're going to just put all their hopes and dreams into this one movie. However, the idea that J.J. Abrams is directing it and those people in charge may not necessarily be the same ones that were in charge of the prequels, and that I think a lot of the Star Wars fans, at least myself, know that the people making this movie that are in charge of these next three movies realize that the prequels were a disappointment and don't want to make that same mistake again. So I think that increases the anticipation more than if the same guys were making it as the prequels. But I don't think it'll ever be to Phantom Menace level because of how ill received those prequels were.
Yeah. I think I agree. I mean, I think on two fronts. I think people are just more distracted now. I think in 1999, it was a lot easier for everybody to get excited about one thing, and now I think we're just kind of all scattered in terms of entertainment. But yeah, I also agree that there's a there is. I honestly, I'm surprised there's not more of a culturally wide souring on Star Wars. But apparently, I mean, it does seem like 10 years has been enough time for everybody to kind of get over that and get excited again. Because I do think that people are, a lot of cynical kind of online film folks are way more excited for this than I ever would have expected. Which is great because, I think Kathleen Kennedy, Lucasfilm, Abrams, I think that they, like you said, are probably looking at this kind of like Spielberg looked at Raiders of the Lost Ark after 1941 flopped, as like, all right, nobody liked that last thing, so let's get down to brass tacks. Let's figure out what made this work to begin with, and let's really, go for something. It happened with Batman Begins after Batman and Robin. It happened with James Bond after Die Another Day with Casino Royale. So yeah, I'm optimistic as well that everybody that's involved is dedicated to making something special.
I think two people like 1941, but also I think Revenge of the Sith, in my opinion, I think was the best of the three.
Oh yes.
So I think it ended on a high note, or a high note in comparison to everyone's expectations after seeing the first one. And then now Lucas is sort of cut out of this, right?
Right.
So I think those two things, at least personally, I kind of, I'm a little more, I'm not worried as much
Yeah,
about
that's the kind of general feeling I'm getting. So where do you come at Star Wars? Like, what is your relationship to Star Wars? I don't think I've ever actually talked to you about that.
It's when I was little, it wasn't a huge thing for me. Of course, I'd seen it, and I didn't just latch onto it though. My brother-in-law, is a few years younger than me. I'm 32, but a decade ago, he was really into Star Wars. He's a collector, a true fan, and so I was dating his sister and just kind of really enjoyed his sort of excitement and his passion for the whole thing. And that definitely sort of like brought me closer to it. I kind of just enjoy watching him get into it, and then enjoyed watching the movies with him and just kind of seeing all the stuff that he collected and stuff like that. And so 10 years later, part of it's kind of like I'm really excited that there's something new, but also, I get to kind of revisit that whole Revenge of the Sith feel again.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, that's actually kind of similar to me. I wasn't, like I said, I wasn't a huge Star Wars fan when I was a kid. For some reason, my dad just, he didn't put that on as much as he put on Indiana Jones and then Batman and James Bond and stuff like that. Stuff that wasn't in space, I think, was the common denominator there. But then I went with my friend. My friends always loved Star Wars when I was a kid, and then I went to go see the special editions, which were the first time I actually saw any of the movies all the way through. And even then, I was like super taken with Empire Strikes Back. Like back then, I was like, oh, well, the other two are okay, but this one is special, and that's the one I've seen the most and returned to the most. But then again, like kind of like you, about 10 years ago, I was in college. And my college roommate, Lee Fanning, who's a filmmaker that film nerds are familiar with, and I worked with on movies with Wundermill Films, he is the biggest Star Wars fan I know, to the point that he is a true defender of the prequels and all of the cartoons and everything like that. And he has such well thought out defenses of all of the Star Wars material that so many people scoff at, and I find that fascinating. So he was super hyped up for Revenge of the Sith. I got really excited for Phantom Menace when that came along. I was excited for Attack of the Clones, and that movie didn't really spend much time in my brain after I saw it. But I was hanging out with him a lot during the hype for Revenge of the Sith. So that was, again, like kind of like you. It was fun to be in a community of people that were excited about this thing, and I some of that Star Wars enthusiasm infected me. So right now I'm kind of excited to share that. I feel like I'm like riding in the back seat, while a lot of other more enthusiastic Star Wars fans are driving the car, but I'm just kind of happy to be there.
Yeah, I think back at that time, it was a point in my life, maybe yours too, where the Cobb had just opened up in Tuscaloosa, and there were lots of midnight showings, and there were lots of excuses to get dressed up and stay up all night and have a Batman party, or go see Batman Begins, or one of the Harry Potter Goblet of Fire or something at
Or
midnight,
stealth.
or yeah, a
I
pirate
dressed up for stealth.
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't
Yeah,
see you there. That
definitely.
makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. That was, and I mean, man, like, again, thinking back to like personal memories, before my wife and I were dating, she invited me to hang out with some of her and her friends as they went to go see the midnight screening of Revenge of the Sith. So that was like a month or so before we started dating, and so that there's like a weird there's a weird personal connection to that too. So yeah, you're making me kind of want to just leave all my responsibilities behind and be a movie nerd, a true movie nerd again.
Yeah, my brother-in-law wants me to come back. He doesn't live in Tuscaloosa anymore, but he wants us to go back to Tuscaloosa and see it at midnight, just for old time's sake, I guess, which I would love to do. I don't know if that's going to happen, but...
Yeah, you got to start planning now.
Yeah.
Okay, well, cool, man. Well, so I think we had a pretty good inaugural discussion. What I figured we would do is you and I, or you and another film nerd, or me and another film nerd, or whoever kind of has the time and the most interest, I thought we could kind of get together and talk about each of the six movies, six theatrical movies. Now, there are seven theatrical movies, but I don't think anybody wants to discuss Star Wars, The Clone Wars, the computer animated film that was released in theaters in August of 2008.
Probably not. You know, those cartoons that came out on like the Cartoon Network leading up to Revenge of the Sith, those were pretty good.
Those are great.
But this other one, let's just not.
It's real bad. Yeah. But it got a theatrical release, and I actually looked up recently, for some reason I always thought the Ewok movies were theatrical releases, but I think they were all just straight to TV. So those don't count either. I think we, so what do you think about that? Just doing like an episode on each of the six movies?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Cool.
What do we start with?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, I think that's the same question as when your daughter is old enough, what order will you show her Star Wars in?
Right.
I think... I understand the idea of 4, 5, 6, and then never the prequels. I think that might be the common film nerd answer among us. For me, I certainly wouldn't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think that's questionable. Mm-hmm. There's something I think called the machete order or something like that, that I believe that I think I like a lot, which is 4 and 5. So it's Star Wars, then it's Empire Strikes Back. So you get the real beginning of the saga, and then you mm-hmm. get the reveal of Darth Vader being Luke's father, and then you break, mm-hmm. and then you go to the prequels mm-hmm. to kind of get the backstory of what that turn is all about, and then you wrap it all up with Return of the Jedi.
I have a friend that suggests the same order, actually.
Okay, yeah. So that makes a lot of sense, because then the prequels are in context, and you begin and end with the original trilogy. I like that a lot.
Right. You don't want to create their whole perception of Star Wars. You don't want to base that on the prequels in any way.
Yeah, I don't think the prequels are horrible movies, but yeah, when I want somebody to think about Star Wars, I don't really want them to think predominantly about the prequels. I those are okay as a footnote, but I don't consider them to be, Star Wars.
Well, hopefully when our kids are old enough to watch Star Wars, the order will be 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and we may not even ever have to do 1, 2, 3.
Right, or, I don't see why Lucasfilm doesn't do this. There's that mythical Topher Grace cut where he basically made the prequels into one movie. I feel like that could work. I think that if you go 4, 5 and then have this kind of like dream sequence where you cut all of the prequels into one movie, to kind of give a little bit of backstory, just to have them, in there out of respect for Lucas or whatever, or if you consider it canon, you need to show a little bit of it, then and then you go 6, 7, 8, and then onward. I think that might be interesting. And I wouldn't be surprised if we eventually see that. See Lucasfilm kind of embrace the shortcomings of the prequels and work on making them more palatable for modern audiences.
I wonder if we could get Topher Grace on one of these podcasts. Do you have any Books a Million gift cards on hand?
Yeah, I don't know. He may be up for it. He may still be calling, waiting for that call for the part of Venom in Avengers: Infinity War.
I hope he waits forever.
So what do you think? Should we just go 4, 5, 6, and then kind of see? I wouldn't be surprised if I can't get anybody on the phone to even discuss one of the prequels. I may have to do like a guest episode with somebody else.
You may have to just do an impression of somebody, and also that also means like we may feel obliged to have to watch those prequels again.
No, I'm not planning on watching much of anything. I have such little time to watch anything. I'm not going to spend it watching Star Wars. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff I need to get to on my shelf of shame, and just in general, we got a new Spielberg movie coming out. I mean, we got the Danish Girl coming up. I can't be spending time watching Star Wars movies.
I hear you.
So, all right. Well, I think that we're safe to start with Star Wars, which is the movie, the title of the movie Star Wars. It is not the movie Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. If anybody called it that, they would be a stupid person. So I think maybe the next time we talk Star Wars, it'll be one of us film nerds discussing the original 1977 movie. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
Awesome, Craig. Well, thanks for engaging in some Star Wars talk with me, and thanks for bringing up the topic. I've been listening to the soundtrack, and I'm kind of getting excited. And I'm not going to watch any more trailers going forward, but I might have to go sit down and watch that first Force Awakens teaser again, and keep that hype going for the next 3 months.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm excited. And hey, Stark.
Yeah, man.
May the Force be with you.
All right, man.
See ya.
Was that a lightsaber?
It was.
Was that an actual lightsaber sound?
No, it was it was a fart noise.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.